Welcome to the Victory Orlando Church Podcast. We are so glad you decided to join us. We want to help you to know God, find freedom, and discover your divine purpose so that you can make a difference with your life. We pray this message encourages you, inspires you, brings you hope, and builds your faith.
Today, the word of the Lord is unopened gifts. Come on, who loves Christmas? Oh, a few people. Wow. I guess I got the right message today. I love Christmas, and it's the most wonderful time of the year. So many great things going on. Christmas is an amazing holiday season. You know, it's the only holiday season that has all its own stuff. You know, it has its own songs. We don't sing songs at Thanksgiving. You know, there's no songs about turkey and stuffing. Maybe there is. I don't know. Christmas has songs and songs and songs and remakes of songs and remakes of songs and different versions of those remakes. Christmas has its own soundtrack. You know what I'm talking about. Christmas has its own colors, its own characters. It has its own food, its own decorations. It has its own thing. Christmas is awesome. Everybody loves Christmas. And, you know, we know so much that Christmas is not about presents. But it's about presence, about the presence of God, right? That Jesus came from heaven to earth to invade humanity, to pay for sin so that we wouldn't have to. Come on. It's good news. That's what Jesus came to do. It's faith in Jesus that we can be saved. So really, while Christmas isn't about presents, Christmas began with the greatest gift of all time, and that God gave us Jesus. So in a way, Christmas is about presence. It's about the presence of Jesus in our lives. And we give gifts because of what God gave to us, right? That's what Christmas is all about, putting faith in Jesus. And if you anybody have kids? Or some of us were a kid before. Come on, that's all of us. We were a kid. You know, one of the great things about Christmas, when you give a gift to your kids or to somebody and you see them rip it open and you see their face light up, you know what I'm talking about? Their eyes are like lighting up. There's just something about that moment that is awesome. It's like the scripture that comes to life that says it's more blessed to give than receive. Like that moment is encapsulated in that moment when you see somebody so excited for this gift that you gave them. It's an amazing feeling. That's why I'm so thankful for a church that believes in giving Christmas away, you know, like, and you know, sometimes kids, they like to find out what the gift is before time, you know, like they try to sneak around. Maybe you have kids like that. Some of you were those kids. Some of you still are those kids. Come on, you know, you like to try to sneak and find out what those gifts are beforehand. In my house, my house, if you find the gift, you find out what it is before Christmas, it goes back to the store. I just love giving surprises, you know, like, praise the Lord. We love to give gifts. You know, it is more blessed to give than receive, but how many like to get gifts too? Come on. There's no shame in that game. We like to get gifts, and don't pretend like you don't. Some of you are like, no, I'm too spiritual for that. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. Come on. Like, we like to get gifts. It's good. We give gifts too. Come on. But we also like to get gifts, you know, and so I love that about Christmas, that we can give and get, because we got a gift from God while we were far from God, while we are dead in sin. God gave us his best, the perfect gift, the thing that Christmas is all about. He gave us Jesus, you know, and so I just want to remind you, wherever you're going, whoever you're celebrating with, or maybe whoever you're missing this holiday season, that God is right there with you. Come on, his very name is Emmanuel, God with us. He's with you in the midst of it all. So just remember that that's how Christmas began. One of the things I love about the Christmas story is that God didn't go to the old people. He didn't go to the spiritually mature or the grown-ups to deliver this gift. God found a teenage girl. A teenage girl was the one who was willing to say, God, your will, not mine, whatever you want to do in my life. It was a teenage girl that he gave the assignment to carry and love and raise the most important gift in all of history, and that's Jesus. It was Mary, this teenage girl that God entrusted the gift of Jesus with, and that's one of the reasons why when I hear the kids shouting next door that I get a little bit excited. I don't get bothered by it because I know that they're learning about Jesus on their level, and I'd rather them learn in a fun way and be passionate passionate about it and scream and make some noise because that's what they're called to do. They're not called to be quiet. We're not called to sit on the back pew and just do our little thing and just, you know, we're called to make some noise for Jesus on this earth. And so that's why I'm so passionate about the next generation, about boys and girls and teenagers learning to hear the voice of God like Mary did. Imagine if Mary didn't know the voice of God. She could have missed that moment where she was chosen to be the mother of Jesus. But I want to raise a generation that knows the voice of God, that knows how to worship, that knows how to share their faith in Jesus and knows the word. Come on. That's why I'm so passionate about it. So all my young people, where are my young people at? Come on. Come on. Not just the young at heart. I see you, Doug. We young at heart, baby. Come on. You know, but my young people, I know you're in the house. And so I just want you to know that you don't have to be a grown-up to do great things for God. You don't have to wait till someday to know the voice of God. God has anointed you now. He's chosen you now. You are the one now. God has gifted you and brought you just for this time. In fact, I love the Apostle Paul. He wrote to a young pastor named Timothy. We have two letters that he wrote, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Timothy, when Paul wrote these letters to Timothy, he was a young 20-something pastor of a church. And Paul writes him these letters to encourage him because he was struggling. Okay, and if you've never been a pastor, just know it's good to pray for your pastor sometimes because, you know, I don't just show up on Sunday and that's all I do. Come on. Some of y'all are like, what do you do? You're like, there's a lot of things. Please remember, if you think of me, pray for me. But here's what Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. In other words, don't let anybody look down on you because you want to do something for God and you haven't been to seminary. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're a teenager. You're the ones God wants to use to change this world. You're the one that God wants to use that He's called and anointed. He said, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, but you are perfect one. You set the example for all the other believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. So young people, you're the ones. You're the ones God has chosen to be the example to all of us who think we got it together. To all the people who think they're more mature than you, no, you are the one God has chosen to be the example. So don't wait till you're older. Come on, you can do great things for God right now. Come on, and I'm never going to stop talking about it. God has given you His favor. He's anointed your life. That's why I'm so thankful for men and women in this church who've decided to be spiritual moms, who serve in Victory Kids and serve in Victory Youth. And some of us are still sitting in these chairs. And you know God has called you to be the same, to be a spiritual mom and dad. And we have a spot for you if that's something that you're interested in. You know, we love to give gifts. We love to get gifts. But can we just imagine for just a moment? Can we put on our thinking caps, imagination caps, and just imagine Christmas morning for a moment? Isn't it an awesome time? You know, maybe you stayed up too late on Christmas Eve wrapping gifts, watching Christmas movies, eating snacks or whatever. You got on your Christmas jammies. Come on, somebody, you know, and you wake up on Christmas morning. You got your cup of coffee. Come on. And you got cinnamon rolls or bacon and eggs or biscuits and gravy. I don't know what y'all eat on Christmas, but it's a feast in my house on Christmas morning. Some of you are like, what time should I be there? You know, but Christmas morning is awesome. Everybody starts gathering around. If you have got kids, the kids come out. Maybe the family comes over. And then the moment happens, you know, you start handing out the gifts. Come on. And people, there's wrapping paper flying everywhere, bows flying all over the place, squeals of delight. You're taking pictures on your iPhone. Some of you are helping your kids get their toys out of toy jail. I mean, the packaging. And then, you know, it's just an awesome time. So many things going on, so much excitement. And then the moment finally happens and somebody hands you a gift. Somebody hands you a gift and it's yours to open, you know. Somebody, can you come up here and help me open this? Come on. Give a big hand for my friend Jocelyn. She comes up here to open this gift. There's that moment when you get to open your gift. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, just rip that thing open. Don't even be polite about it. We're not saving the paper, you know. We'll recycle. Come on, but just rip that open. You know how it is. You rip it open. You're so excited for your gift. And then as you're opening your gift, I don't know if it's ever happened, but then they bring you up another one. This one's yours too. And this one's yours too. And this one's yours too. You'd be like, but I'm still opening my first one. And I'm trying, you know, like, there's just something fun about opening gifts. Is there anything good in there?
Yeah.
There is. Look at that. Come on, Chili's gift card. That's yours to keep. Yeah, for real. That's yours to keep. Come on, give her a big hand. That's all that's in there. You can leave all that there. It'll be fine. Come on, Merry Christmas. Yay. Come on. It's good to get gifts. We love to get gifts, but the funny thing is, if I would have told her, I was like, why don't you open one of these too? She probably would have been like, all right, right? Yeah, you wouldn't have left those there. You know, like, if that's Chili's, what's in another one? Come on, some other Four Rivers or something else, you know? None of us would just leave the gifts there that were us. You know what? Just put them back under the tree. We can leave them wrapped up. I'll take care of them later. I'll open them later. Like, it's okay. I don't need to open them right now. Like, but what's wrong with you? These are your gifts. Why don't you open them? Let's see what's inside. Be like, no, it's okay. I don't just leave them right there. None of us would do that, yeah. Right? We'd open those things up and get them in there. But the reality is this is how so many people live their spiritual lives. They have unopened gifts that God has given them. Sure, we'll open one. Yeah, because we all want that fire insurance. We want salvation. You know, Romans 6:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We want that gift, right? Like, Jesus, I'll open that one. Thank you. But then all the other spiritual gifts that God gives us, we're like, I'm not sure. Just leave those and set them back over there. And so many people live their entire spiritual life with unopened gifts that God has given them. I believe we're in a season where God wants us to open the gifts that he's given us, because he's given us the gifts on purpose. You know, when somebody gives you a gift, it's probably something you're going to like. You know, I hope it is. Maybe it's not, you know. But most of the time, if you get a gift from your family member or, you know, mom and dad or your spouse, like, it's probably something you've been hoping for, maybe something you asked for, you know, and all those things. But the gift is meant to bring joy to your life. It's meant to increase your life. It's meant to be a blessing to you. And it's the same with God. God gives us gifts in our lives to make our lives better, to bless us, to increase us, right? To equip us so that we can do the things that he's called us to do, the dreams that he's put in our heart. God gives us gifts so that we can do those things and enjoy this life. So why would we leave his gifts unopened? So today, we're going to open some gifts. Come on, somebody. We're going to open some of these spiritual gifts that God gives us. What about the gift of the Holy Spirit? Let me show you. It is a gift. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while he, meaning Jesus, was eating with his disciples, he gave them this command. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the what? The gift. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift to our lives. And, I mean, you don't have to be in the church for very long to realize that a lot of people don't want to open that gift. Like, people don't open that gift, but it is a gift that God has given us, right? What about the gift of praying in tongues, the gift of service, the gift of teaching, the gift of miracles, the gift of discernment, gift of words of wisdom? Here's another gift that a lot of people don't like, the gift of spiritual leaders. Let me show you Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So Christ himself gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We call it the fivefold ministry, but they're really spiritual leaders that Christ gives us in our lives, right? And why did he give us these spiritual leaders? He says those people are meant to equip his people for works of service. So God gives us spiritual leaders to equip us to do all that God created us to do. So that dream that's been in your heart, that thing that you've always felt like, oh man, I want to help in this, or I love to help these kind of people, like, God gives us spiritual leaders to equip us to be successful in whatever we do. Isn't that good to know? Yeah. It's just that sometimes, you know, spiritual leaders, none of us are perfect. And so we experience hurt. We experience pain from the past or whatever else. And so then when God brings a spiritual leader into our lives, so often we're defensive. We've got the walls up. We're offended. Like, I'm not going to listen to what they say. Oh, that sounded easy and nice, so I'll take that. But then when we're challenged by something, or we're stretched by something, it's easy to, like, I'm actually called to this other place now, and this other place, and this other place. Listen, God is not schizophrenic, okay? He doesn't call you to a place for 2 weeks and then to another place for another 2 weeks. No, God said those who are planted, rooted in the house will flourish. Not those who uproot themselves and replant themselves all the time. Those who are planted, come on. And here's the thing. He says when you're equipped, he says then you will, the body of Christ will be built up, will be strengthened, and reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become more mature, attaining the whole measure of Christ. So there is fullness that God has for you. There's some growing up that God has for you, right? If you've walked with God for 5 minutes, there's more that God has for your life. If you walked with God for, you know, 5 weeks, there's more that God has. If you've walked with God for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, there's more that God has for your life. These are gifts that God has given us.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to leave any of the gifts God has for me unopened. Come on, let's open some gifts that God has given us. So what are spiritual gifts? Great question. Thanks for asking. Come on. Today I want to talk about what spiritual gifts are and how they work in our lives so we can open these spiritual gifts that God has given us. If we're going to define a spiritual gift, this is an easy definition. A spiritual gift is simply a supernatural ability given to all Christians to do God's work on the earth. It's a supernatural ability to do God's work on the earth. And God gives it to every person who's a believer in Jesus to make a difference, first in the church, in his body, and then in the world. So as we talk about what spiritual gifts are, I think we also have to talk about what they are not, because a lot of people get confused and mix the two together. So let me give you five things that spiritual gifts are not, and then we'll talk about what spiritual gifts are. Okay, first one is this. Spiritual gifts are not natural talents. That's right. Some of you are gifted to sing. You have a natural ability to sing, maybe like Cass, and you can sing really good, or play the piano or play the guitar. Some of you are gifted to dance, or you're very creative. You can see things in your mind, and then you can build them out of something. Some of us are gifted in business or in communication, or you're gifted, you know, interacting with people, and you just have this way with people. You have natural abilities that God has given you, but that's not the same as spiritual gifts. Every person has natural abilities and talents to do something that God gives you. But when a person is born again in their spirit, they receive Jesus as their Savior, it's in that moment of being born again that God gives you spiritual gifts. Most of the time, your spiritual gifts will complement your natural abilities that He's given you, but they're not the same, okay? Spiritual gifts are different than natural talents and abilities. Here's the second one. Spiritual gifts are not given only to the elite few. Some people think that spiritual gifts are for, you know, those that are really mature or those that are really at a higher spiritual place, or just those that are like on TV. They have spiritual gifts, but not me. No, listen. The moment you receive Christ, God gives you spiritual gifts. God does not pick and choose who to give spiritual gifts to. If you follow Jesus, He has spiritual gifts He gives to you in that moment. It's just that not every believer in Jesus will open their gifts. It's just like salvation. Salvation is a free gift to everybody, but not everyone will choose to receive it. Everyone has the opportunity to receive healing through the stripes of Jesus, but not every person will receive the healing. Come on. Spiritual gifts are for every believer. Here's the third one. Spiritual gifts are not a sign of spiritual maturity. Yeah. If you have a certain gift, it doesn't mean you're more spiritually mature than somebody else. Come on. It just means that everybody has different spiritual gifts. We all have different. In fact, God does it that way on purpose. Because if we were all the same, then we would just live to compare ourselves. Am I as good as them or am I not as good as them? And many people do live that way, but you are not gifted the way other people are, and that's God's design. Imagine if your whole body was just a nose. Can you imagine if all you were was a nose, no eyes, no hands, no mouth? How are you going to eat a cheeseburger? Come on, somebody. You're just a nose. All you would be is smelling everybody's business all the time. You know what I mean? That would be weird. But you have all different kind of parts on your body so that you can live a good life, right? All of us are designed and created specifically by God to function and operate the way that you do so that you can be effective and make a difference in this world. That's how God designed you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For you are God's handiwork, His creation, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. Number four, spiritual gifts are not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians chapter 5. You can read that. It's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, all that kind of stuff, right? The fruit of the Spirit is the result, is the evidence of God working in our lives. When God works in us, then we can love people. When God is working in our lives, we have joy. When God is working in us, there's the evidence of peace and patience and all those things. Spiritual gifts are given to you by God when you receive Christ. They're different things, right? Here's the last one. Spiritual gifts are not something to fear. And here's what I mean by that. We live in a world full of people like us that aren't perfect. Nobody's perfect in this place. We all make mistakes. And sometimes people will do something and give God credit and it wasn't God, or do something in the name of God that wasn't God and say, this is the Spirit, or they'll say, thus saith the Lord, and it wasn't the Lord. You know, I mean, one of the most obvious examples, if you've ever watched one of those award shows and somebody gets up and they're thanking God for their song that's full of expletives and all kinds of stuff. God may have gave them the ability, but God didn't give them that song, right? They're giving God credit for something that wasn't God. And people do that even in the church. Right? Because we're people. Nobody gets it right all the time, right? And so we've got to realize that, you know, even though sometimes people do things that are weird, God is not weird. The Holy Spirit is not weird. And the gifts that God gives us is not weird. People act weird. God is not weird. So we're not afraid of the spiritual gifts or operating in them. We recognize that God gives them to us to help people, right? So what are spiritual gifts? Let's talk about what they are. Right. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Maybe you got that free YouVersion Bible up. Anybody brought your Bible with you to church today? Come on. Okay, one person. Praise the Lord. Let's go. Two people. Let's bring our Bibles with us to church. You got it on your phone. That's just as good too. Come on, or a tablet. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1. Here the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the church, teaching us about spiritual gifts. Verse 1, he says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, I do not want you to be uninformed." So right there, I want you to know, spiritual gifts are not just for men. They're for men and women, brothers and sisters. Come on. So that's all of us. You are either a brother or you are a sister. Come on. And so if you are one of those two, then you have spiritual gifts. And he says, I don't want you to be uninformed. One translation says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be clueless and not know anything about spiritual gifts. It's an interesting statement because in our world, in our day and time, the most recent study that I've read actually says that 87% of people in church don't know their purpose. They don't know their giftings or why they were made. 87%. So almost 9 out of 10 of us have unopened spiritual gifts that we've set aside because we just don't know. And Paul is saying, hey, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to not know what God has given you in your life. So what about you? Do you have unopened gifts? Do you know your spiritual gifts? And if you're like, I have no idea, it's okay. Don't feel bad. Don't be like, oh, man, no. No, but let's get on the path to discover what they are. Amen. Let's not just leave it there. Let's open some gifts today. Amen? Amen. Come on. So he says, don't be uninformed. So let's learn some things. I want to give us 3 things about our spiritual gifts that are going to help us discover and open these things that God has given us in our lives. If you're taking notes, hopefully you'll write these down. The first thing you need to know about your spiritual gifts is your gifts were meant to equip you to minister. Now, it got real quiet when I said that word minister. Some of you are like, I'm not in the minister, Pastor. I work at this place or that place. And so I want to just, before you freak out about being in the ministry, right? Because we have this mentality of what it means to be in the ministry. Like, y'all probably all think that I'm in the ministry because I'm the pastor and I work for the church, right? But that's really just a man-made idea of being what being in the ministry means. Or we think the televangelists, they're in the ministry. People that, you know, the kids pastor, they're in the ministry. Or, you know, worship leaders, they're in the ministry. But the reality is, if you are a follower of Jesus, you're in the ministry, baby. You didn't know when you came to church today you were going to be in the ministry. Welcome to the ministry. And for those of you that don't believe me, I'm going to give you an assignment. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, write that down, put it in your notes, whatever. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to go home and read it and then come back and tell me if you're in the ministry or not. Because it makes it very clear. He says, when you come into Christ, when you are born again, he says, all the old is gone. We're made brand new. And we rejoice about that. It's absolutely true. In that moment, we're made brand new. God fills us with his Spirit and fills us with his love. The very next verse says, now it is your job. You are God's ambassadors to help reconcile people to God. That's what it means to be in the ministry. So being in the ministry, you know the word clergy? It's not in the Bible. It's made up, man-made term. The word layperson, talking about people who are just attend, like come to church, like that's a man-made term. It's not in the Bible. God's plan is that anyone who is a follower of Jesus would be in the ministry. Ministry just means you care about people. Ministry just means you share your faith with people. Ministry means you help people. That's what it means to be in the ministry. So God is depending on each of us to do our parts to share his love, the love of Jesus, with other people. So let's just take the churchiness out of what it means to be in the ministry. You are in the ministry. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are in the ministry. It is our job to build people up. Look at somebody sitting beside you and say, I'm in the ministry. I'm in the ministry. That's right. Now you've already said it. It's too late. Come on.
Paul continues in verse 4. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them all. So he's saying there's a bunch of gifts. In fact, throughout the scripture, there's four places that we get kind of a list of what spiritual gifts are. And there's listed about 27 specific gifts. And I really believe that's just like the tip of the iceberg, because God is infinite, so he's not limited to 27 spiritual gifts. But he's just, in scripture, he's just giving an insight. Here's 27 of them. And this is one place that he lists some of the gifts. We read one of them early, Ephesians 4. The first, some of the gifts are the apostles, the pastors, all those five. Right? He says there are different gifts, but they all come from God. There are different gifts of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now, to each one, each believer, young, old, male, female, every Christian is given spiritual gifts. Why? He says, for the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So spiritual gifts are given not just to hide in our lives and just no one knows about it. The spiritual gifts are given in our lives to be evident. I love what how the New Living Translation says it. He says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Amen. Doesn't that just like simplify it? God gives us spiritual gifts so we can help people, so we can help each other. First, you know, he's writing to the church so we can help each other in the church, so we can serve each other, and then so we can help people who are out of the church, who don't know God. That's what spiritual gifts are for. That's why he gives them to us. And then he gets into a list in verse 8. He says, to one there is given the Spirit through the Spirit a message of wisdom, through another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between the spirits, discerning, to another speaking in different tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he, meaning God, distributes them to each of us just as he decides. So it's not up to us which spiritual gifts we get. God is our creator, and he gives us the spiritual gifts according to what he knows that we need, right? That's good to know. It's good to know. God gives us spiritual gifts, supernatural ability to advance his kingdom on this earth. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power so that he could come to church and get the goosebumps and then go home and feel good about himself. That's not what it says. He says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Amen. By the way, I hope you get the goosebumps when you're in church. That's great. Like, that's a great moment. And the goosebumps, you know, when the hair stands on your head and you're worshiping or you feel God moving, like, that's just your physical body reacting to the presence of God. And how gracious is it of God to allow our physical body to be an indicator that he's moving in that place? I hope you have that moment, but I hope that's not it. Because the Holy Spirit was not given to you to entertain you. The Holy Spirit was not given to bring you to the cliff of an emotional high and leave you there. No, the Holy Spirit was given to you to equip you with power to do what? To go around doing good. To help people who are under the influence of the devil. People who are far from God. People who are broken. People who are hurting. To lay hands on the sick and see them recover. To bring people out of darkness and into the light. God, the Holy Spirit came to equip you with power. Come on. It says that Jesus was anointed. And by the way, each and every one of us is anointed the same way. You're anointed with the Holy Spirit and God's power to do good and to bring help to people who are stuck under the bondage of the enemy. That's why I believe God is counting on all of us. There's no plan B. We are plan A. We are plan B. We are plan C, D, E, F, G, H, I, W, all the way to Z. We are it. We are the plan. God has entrusted us with the responsibility of doing good and helping deliver people from the bondage of the enemy. That's why God is ready. If you're willing to open the gifts, God is ready to empower you with something supernatural, something you don't have on your own. That's why some people fall short, because they think they can do it without God. We cannot do it without God. We're dead in the water without him. It's like being in a sailboat with no sail and no wind. Yeah, going nowhere. But all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit comes, there's wind, there's breath, there's strength, there's power. There's something you didn't have on your own. That's a spiritual gift that God gives us to empower us to make an eternal difference in the life of somebody else. Come on, and I want to just tell you this.
If you want to have true joy and true purpose in your life, there's no better way to live than doing good and helping people come out of darkness and into light. That's where fulfillment is found. You want to lay your head down on the pillow at night and, you know, like, it's living a life that way. Come on. That's why I always just say, like, you know, be part of the outreaches. Don't just watch the recap video next week of the Christmas giveaway. Be in it. Be in the video. Be the one giving the gift, giving the turkey away, you know, praying with somebody. And that's always your invitation. You are always invited to come be a part. Here's the second key to your spiritual gifts. Your gifts are different than mine, but equally important. Amen. Come on. Yeah. My gifts are different than yours, but they're equally important. So we got to be careful not to live jealous of somebody else's gift, right? Because some gifts are outward and more obvious. Like, you see some of my gifts when you come on Sunday morning. I said some because you don't see all of them, right? You see some of my gifts because it's just outward, it's obvious. But some gifts are not. Yeah. You know, like, you don't see my heart. But my heart is just as important as my voice. Yeah. If my heart decided I'm not important, so I don't need to work anymore, guess what? That'd be real sad. You know? Like, you don't see it, but it's important. No one gift is more important than the other. The only gift that supersedes anything else is the gift of Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the main thing. Amen. But the spiritual gifts God gives to people are all equally important. There's not one that's better. There's not one that's more important. The one that is better is the one God has given you. Amen. The one that's important is the one that God has given you, not what he's given to somebody else. It's just that as people, you know, it's just so easy to drift into this thing, be like, well, if I could as good as them, if I could sing as good as Cass, if I could play the guitar, you know, as good as Ryan, if I could talk to the kids, you know, like that, like whatever. Like, we live in this thing of comparison sometimes because we see other people's gifts and then we're like, my gifts must not be as good, or maybe they just know God better than me. And the reality is that place of comparison where our spiritual enemy, the devil, wants to get us, because it's there, then we stop using the gifts. It becomes an unopened gift because we'd rather have what somebody else has than what God has given us. Amen. I hope you're not disappointed, but I will never preach as good as Bishop T.D. Jakes. I love Bishop Jakes. I'm so thankful for his leadership, for his wisdom. I mean, I practice in the mirror sometimes, you know, because he's a great preacher. He's been doing it a long time, and he knows a lot of things that I don't. And, you know, I'm thankful that he's willing to give that wisdom away freely. And I will never preach as good as Bishop Jakes. And the problem that a lot of us have is we have that same feeling about people in our lives or people that we see or whatever else. And so many people stop right there. Yeah. They stop in the, I'll never be as good as whatever. I'll never be able to like they do. But here's the thing I want to encourage you with today. As amazing as Bishop Jakes is, he'll never preach as good as I do. Amen. I can, and I don't say that to brag or compare. Like, I could be a second rate, a third rate, probably like a 10th rate Bishop Jakes. But God didn't gift me and put me in Dallas. God put me here in East Orlando and gifted me for here. And the same is true for you. God didn't gift you like them because he needed them there, but he gifted you the way he gifted you and put you here because he needed you here. Amen. Say, I mean, God didn't put me where you are. He puts you there. He gifted you that way. And I'll never be able to reach and influence the people you will. So don't stop at the will of, no, God gave you everything that you need. You're created on purpose. There's no accidents. There's nothing missing. You are ridiculously put where God wanted you to be. Like, there's no better place for you to be than right here in the middle of this global pandemic with the gifts and the wisdom and the experience that you've been through. God put you here on purpose. He gifted you this way. Early in my marriage with my wife, Heather, somebody gave us a beautiful knife set, you know, for the kitchen with all the, like, the steak knives and the big knives and all that kind of stuff. It was great. It was awesome. All we had was the cheap knives from Walmart, you know. It was like, you got to sharpen them every time you cut one little thing. It's just, you know, it's whatever. And it was awesome. I was thankful to have them. But if I was really honest, I really just wanted a really good football, you know, one of the leather ones, you know. That was where my heart was. Thank you. I wish this was a football, because I was playing flag football every Saturday with a group of guys, and I had the cheap ball from Walmart, you know, and it was these young, broke, married people, you know what I'm saying? And so I was like, thank you. But imagine if I had taken one of those knives and pretended it was a football. You know, that big, you know, the butcher's knife. Like, I got a new football, guys. Like, that's not a football. That is a knife. Go long! Local pastor throws knife at person, ends up in jail. You know, like, if I would have done that, pretended the gift that I was given was something different than what it was, somebody would have got hurt or killed. And so many people in the body of Christ are being hurt, being injured, because people are pretending that their gift is something different than what it is. They're leaving their gifts unopened, trying to be somebody else. Let's just start with what God has given us and be the very best of who we are and allow the gifts inside of us to be developed and to flourish, whatever they happen to be. Come on, somebody. I encourage you, read the full chapter of 1 Corinthians 12. We don't have time to go in depth on the whole thing today. Read the whole thing. As Paul talks about spiritual gift, he kind of brings it back again and relates it to our bodies. If you look at your body, you've got hands and fingers, fingernails. Even your finger has multiple parts to it that do different things. You got ears, a mouth, a nose, eyes, hair, a head. Some of us have hair. Love you, brother. Nothing I wouldn't say if it was just the two of us. I love him. We've got multiple different body parts, and aren't you glad? You know, Paul says, your hand can't say to your eyes, I don't need you, because you're not a hand. Right. If you think you don't need hands, then tie your hands behind your back this afternoon and just text me later. Let me know how it's going. Y'all see what I did there? That's funny right there. Come on. Just imagine what your body would look like if your arm didn't know what its job was. Imagine what your body would look like if your mouth didn't know what its job was. Or let's try this. Imagine what your body, your physical body, would look like if 87% didn't know what its job was. And we take that to the church, the body of Christ. And 87% of people don't know what their assignment is, what they're gifted to do. And then we're like, why isn't the church reaching more people? Why aren't we able to do this? Why can't we have this ministry and that ministry? How many of y'all know it takes leaders, people to lead ministries? It's not just like the church just doesn't just magically do stuff. It requires people with purpose and vision and gifts to be able to do things. That's why it's so important. Why do you think the devil wants to get us to be scared of spiritual gifts, of praying in tongues, of the Holy Spirit, of words of wisdom, of words of prophecy? Because he knows what will happen. It will wreak havoc on the kingdom of darkness. It will bring people out of what they're stuck in and into light and into purpose.
That's right.
Amen. I'm preaching good today. Praise the Lord. That's why I say God specifically designed and created you to operate and function the way you do, so you can be effective in making a difference in the world around you. Here's another place in Scripture, one of the other four places, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, where we hear more on spiritual gifts. This is Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus, writing this. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in all its various forms. If someone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If someone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So we could go on to say, whatever your gift is, serving, prophecy, giving, encouragement, mercy, whatever your spiritual gifts are, use them passionately. Amen. That's what Peter said. Use them passionately. Let's never insult the giver of the gift by leaving them unopened. Amen. Come on, we're talking about keys to opening our spiritual gifts. Number one, your gifts were meant to equip you to minister. Number two, your gifts are different than mine, but equally important. Here's the last one today. Number three, the gifts God has given you reveals the real you. Reveals the real you. I mean, it doesn't take very long of looking around our world to realize that people are looking for a purpose. They're looking for something to identify as or identify with. Tell me who I am. Help me make all of this make sense. What is the purpose of life? What is the meaning of existence? People are looking for something to bring definition and purpose to their lives. And can I just remind us that God is still the only one who has the answer to that question.
Amen.
God is the only one who knows the answer to why we exist and why am I the way that I am, right? If you want to know what your life is about, why you were created, why you're gifted the way you are, then you need to go back to the one who created you in the first place.
Amen.
If you want to know, if you buy a Lego set and there's no instructions inside, don't go to McDonald's and ask them for the instructions. Don't go to the car dealership and ask them for instructions. They'd be like, yeah, there's some Legos there. It could be a car. It could be something else. They don't know. They didn't make it. Go to Lego and ask them, what is this supposed to be? But so many people are going to government, they're going to celebrities, they're going to this, they're going to that, they're going to feelings and emotions and situations and social media. Who am I? What am I? No wonder there's so much confusion and chaos in our world. Like, it's time for us to rise up into fullness of Christ. It's time for us to stop being spiritual babies and to grow up and become a spiritual teenager. Come on, somebody. We need some spiritual adults, some people who know who they are, who know what they're gifted to do and what God has given them so we can make a difference. Because there are so many people just looking, just hurting, just looking for an answer. And we have it, and his name is Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Here's the fourth list of spiritual giftings that we have in scriptures. He says, this is Paul writing again. He says, for by the grace given to me, I say to each one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you should, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Or he's saying, see yourself in the right way. See yourself through the right lens, through the right filter. He says, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. So he's saying, you need to see yourself through faith, not through the lens of everything else. Here's how you find purpose. Here's how you discover what life is all about. See your life through faith, not through something else. He says, just as each of us have a body with many members, those members do not have the same function. So in Christ, we, though we are many, form one body, and each members belong to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. Kind of what we've been talking about all day, right? And Paul's just kind of teaching it to us again, seeing ourselves through the right light, through the eyes of faith, because when we see ourselves through faith, then we realize that we're loved by God, that we're sons and daughters. We're not orphans. We're sons and daughters, right? We're given everything we need by our Father. You know, we're set free. He even gives us a sound mind. He gives us power. He gives us purpose. And this is what happens when we begin to realize and see ourselves in the right light. We begin to open and discover who God created us. He says, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's in giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The reality is, God has given all of us who are believers in Christ spiritual gifts to make a difference in his church, in the body, and in the world, right? He gives us spiritual gifts. So have you opened your spiritual gifts? Today is a day, I believe, to begin to open some spiritual gifts. I love what David wrote in Psalms 139, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Verse 13, David writes, "For you created me, my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know it full well." Amen. And I wonder, do you know full well how God made you? Do you know full well how wonderfully and fearfully and knitted together you are? Do you know your purpose? Do you know your spiritual gifts? Do you know it? David is saying, I have confidence in who I am because I know what God has done in my life. I know the gifts he's given me and I've opened them, right? And so that's the question today is, do we know full well the thing that God has called you to do? And maybe you're saying, okay, Pastor, I get it. I need to open some spiritual gifts. I need to do those things. But how do I do that? What do I do? I want to do that, but I'm not sure of what step to take. So I'm going to give us normally I just give us one step. But today I want to give us two. Is that okay? I know two is a lot. It's double, but it's okay. We can handle it, right? I believe that there's two things that will help us on this path to begin to discover, to open the gifts. And I say it to begin because a step is just that. It's a step. It's not the whole process. It's never meant to be an ending of the process. The reality is, from the day you receive Christ till the day you leave this earth, God is going to be developing things inside of you. He's going to be bringing out new gifts inside of you in different seasons, right? So it's a development process. It never ends. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back down, right? So today, let's get in the game. Let's get by the tree and open some gifts. Come on, somebody. Let's open the gifts God has given us. Here's the two steps I want to give us today to begin this process of development. Is Be committed to a church, to a local church. Now, I say that, it doesn't have to be this one. I know you expect me to say that, like, you better be in church. Like, it's not about being in a service. It's not about having perfect attendance, right? That's religious. It's about being connected. It's about being rooted and being planted in a place. That's why I say it doesn't have to be this one, but find the one that God would lead you to. Scripture actually says God puts us in the body, in the church, where he wants us to be. So you think you found us on Google. It was actually the Holy Spirit leading your fingertips to help you find it and then highlighting it on the screen. Come on. God puts us in the body where he wants us to be. So how about we ask him, God, where do you want me to be planted? Like, and I'm biased. I think this is a great place. You know, you can plant your family. You can plant your kids. But it's about the people. It's about the relationships. And that's why sometimes people go through hard times and they say things like, nobody at the church cares about me. No one knows my name. Well, could it be that it's not the church or the people, but you just maybe come every now and then, or you just leave really quick? Like, it's really hard to know people when you just head for the door and the exits and you never show up at anything. You're always like it's hard to know people. It's not that people don't want to know you, but what if you just put yourself out there? What if you give people a chance? You got to be connected. You got to be committed in the house, a place you show up, where you serve, where you give, a place you pray for, a place you bring people to and invite people to, be implanted in the house. Come on. And like, there's no Lone Ranger Christians in the Bible. Don't try to be an orphan Christian. In fact, there's about 27, 28 things in the New Testament that we're called to do as believers that you cannot do alone. You have to do it in the context of a group of people. We're called to be together. Even in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, don't forsake the gathering of yourself as some are in the habit of doing. He's writing that to Christians. Some are in the habit. It doesn't matter. I'll show up whenever I need to. Thanks for the word today. You know, you're my preacher. I'm not your preacher. You know, like I'm a minister just like you. I'm not the only minister at Victory. And my wife is not the only other one. I'm looking at a room of ministers at Victory. Come on. So be committed in a house. And if you're wondering, you know, I just invite you, like, if you're unsure or you're not sure if you could be planted, you're kind of maybe even interested in serving, but maybe you haven't taken that step. Here's what I would tell you. Stay after this service and come to the Christmas party. Be around the family and just see, is this a place I could be? Is this a place my family could be? And I believe this is a place you can call home. Come on. Here's the second thing. So be committed in a local house. The second thing I would encourage you to do, let's discover our gifts. Next week, after at the movies, come on, we're gonna right after this service, the 11 a.m. service, we're gonna do the spiritual gifts assessment. And so I would encourage you, like, hey, you want to open the gifts? Well, let's come discover what they are. If you don't know what they are, or you've done it in the past, but if I asked you after service, you'd be like sweating because you're making something up. You don't know what they are. Come next week. Let's find out what they are. You have spiritual gifts working in your life right now. Right now, today. Let's discover them. Let's put a name on it so we can begin to develop it and know what God has called us to do, right? So we're going to do that right after service, about 40 minutes. You'll walk out of here with 3 or 4 specific gifts that God has given you that you've now opened and a plan to begin to develop them. Come on, somebody. Those are the two things I'd ask you to do. Let's get on our feet today. Come on, we're going to get committed in a church family. We're going to be involved, and we're going to discover specifically our spiritual gifts. Let's just begin to pray in this place. Lord, I just thank you right now for all that you're doing. God, I thank you that you're here in this place with us, even right now. God, I just pray right now. Maybe you're here today, and as we've been talking, you know what your spiritual gifts are. Maybe you've even been operating in them. But today, you just sense God is stirring you, that he has more for you, that there's something deeper that he has for you. Like, he's calling you into some new things. And maybe you've just been trying to stay in the safe zone. God is saying, hey, I want you to step out into the wild. I want you to step out of the safe and into some unknowns. He's going to lead you to some new things and bring some new gifts to your life. Some of us, maybe you're here and as you're listening today, you're like, yeah, Pastor, maybe you've even known in the past what your gifts are. You're gifted for some things, but you've kind of shied away from them. You become busy. You become like, ah, I don't want to do that right now. But really, God is leading you. He's stirring up some things in this new season, these gifts. He's saying, hey, it's time to let your gifts come out. It's time to let the real you come out so that your life could find purpose, could find fulfillment again, so that you could begin to make a huge difference in the lives of so many. And it's time just to stir up those gifts inside of you. For some, as we've been talking today, maybe this is the first time you've even really heard about spiritual gifts and what they are. Maybe you've never even realized that God has given you spiritual gifts. And today, you're like, I want that in my life. I want to open these gifts and get them in, working in my life. I don't want to leave any unopened gifts. Wherever you're at on any of that, you're saying, Pastor, would you include me in this prayer today? Just all over the room, saying it's time for me to open some spiritual gifts in my life. Let's just lift our hands to heaven. I believe God wants to do some things in us. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in this place right now, Lord God, that you're stirring up in us like the desire, Lord God, the hunger to let these spiritual gifts work in our lives. God, I pray for those that this is the first time they're beginning to discover the gifts. And God, I thank you for the joy and the excitement and the wonder as we begin to open these gifts, Lord God, not only in our lives, but you gave them to us on purpose. So God, I pray you begin to develop the, give us the dreams that you have for our lives. Give us vision, Lord God. Help us to see through the eyes of faith so that we could know who we really are, that we would know full well, just like David said, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, I pray even for those that have known their gifts, maybe walked away, Lord God, you're not angry at us, God, but you're always inviting us. You're always drawing us closer to you, saying, hey, son, daughter, come on, stir it up. Stir up the gifts of the Spirit. Stir it up. If that's you right now, just put your hands on yourself, you know, right there on where your belly is, right below your rib cage. I believe God wants to stir up the gifts of the Spirit in you today. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, hey, Timothy, when I lay my hands on you, it stirs up the spiritual gifts. Just all over this room, it's time to stir up the gifts inside of you. Gifts of prophecy, gifts of words of knowledge, gifts of wisdom, praying in tongues, interpreting what other people have said, discernment, gifts of healing, gifts of giving. Some of us are called in here with the gift of evangelism. Like you just love sharing Jesus with people. Some of us have the gift of pastoring, where you just love to care for people. Pastoring doesn't mean you stand on a stage and lead a church. Pastoring means you just love to take care of people. Some of us have the gift of apostle. So many things. And God is stirring it up inside of you today, giving you fresh vision, giving you fresh purpose. Don't hold back anymore. Don't hold back anymore. This is a new season of building up people in the church and building up people in this world.
Thank you for listening to the Victory Orlando Church Podcast. We hope today's message helps you take another step closer to knowing God and finding freedom through His Word.